Donald Prentice is a Dallas entrepreneur who started a company that really sounds intriguing. It's dedicated to the national network of compounding pharmacies. The company is called Qualthera. They own one right now, but in the next 5 to 10 years, they're going to be in all 50 states. At least that's the plan, anyway. Donald Prentice joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Pleasure to be on today. Thank you.
So you're joining us from your first acquisition, first of what's going to have to be many. You're going to be busy over the next 5 or 10 years if you're going statewide. So you're in Victoria, Texas. Talk about a compounding pharmacy and remind us what you do.
Yeah, great question. Typically, most people you talk to don't really know what a compounding pharmacy is unless they really need to use it, right? And so, a good analogy for the business community is buying a suit, right? So I'm a shorter guy. I can go to the suit store and pick up a 44 short, and I'm still going to have it tailored, right? It's for most people, it's going to fit okay off the shelf, but just to really dial it into your arm length, to the size and shape that you want, you're going to go to a tailor to bring it in a little bit more. But better yet, if you had this magical tailor that could just get all these raw materials together, sew them together perfectly to your body and liking, that's how I kind of think about compounding. We take raw ingredients, we combine them together specific to your needs pursuant to your doctor's prescription.
This sounds absolutely necessary, but you have walked in, or you're maybe tiptoeing right now into an area that is just a minefield. I mean, CVS and Walgreens are closing stores left and right. Insurance companies are battling what they'll approve or not. You know, what makes you want to get in this business?
Yeah, for me, what they taught us at SMU Cox is that if you see problems, that's usually an opportunity to put a business case around it. And so for me, I saw an opportunity to specialize in the compounding space within that broader pharmacy network. Just as you said, as the Walgreens and CVSs of the world are closing, that's part of a bigger macro backdrop. And why that's important is that prior to the CVS and Walgreens of the world, there were what you called independent pharmacies, right, in every community. And so as Walgreens and CVS started to kind of, grow and expand their footprint across the country, you saw a decline in these independent pharmacies, typically owner-operator operations, really hyper-focused on their specific communities. And we lost a lot of those, unfortunately. And so I see an opportunity, a unique point in time, as CVS and Walgreens are closing stores, to kind of reinvigorate that independent pharmacy, community access points across the country. So for me, I see it as an opportunity, not as a problem.
So there are still, as you say, a handful, but boy, it's a handful of independent pharmacies spread out there, an even smaller group that does compounding. So what do you do? Is this a series of roll-ups? You're going to go out and do acquisitions and get some economy of scale driving down overhead?
Yes, if you'd like to join me as a business partner, we have it all figured out. So the point is just that. So it's going to be a combination of acquisitions and greenfields. And so strategically acquiring Central Drug made a lot of sense because it had both sterile compounding capabilities and non-sterile compounding capabilities. And a quick explanation between that difference is sterile is typically anything that's going to be injected, exposed to the bloodstream right away, versus a non-sterile compound will be something applied topically or taken orally that doesn't necessarily, break that blood barrier. And so, again, why that was strategic for me was because then I could go on and use that expertise and then expand that knowledge throughout this network that I'm building, acquiring other small independent compounding pharmacies across the country, and just instilling that same level of personal care, precision medicine at scale, right, but not losing that personal touch that independents are known for.
So do these independent owners then become partners and equity and continue to operate, or do you take them over and you've got your own people?
Yeah, we take it over. We look for, opportunities where the seller wants to kind of move on to the next chapter in life, but at the same point, would like to, help transition the business successfully. And that's what we're doing down in Central, and it's going really well. Ideally wanting to be completely 100% owned by Qualthera as we begin this plan.
Then you've got to be tapped into some pretty good equity, some backers that get behind you on something like this.
A little bit of that. SBA definitely helped get this off the ground for me. And so, and then what's really intriguing about the compounding space is that there's enough margin there to be able to reinvest it back into the business. So, instead of, putting that in my pocket, I'm just dumping it right back into the business to fund this expansion plan. And I'm actually looking at a lease right now in the Dallas area as well as to try to do a greenfield to where I can open up a little bit more sterile and non-sterile compounding capacity to help with my central drug plan to expand their footprint. Because right now they're really concentrated around the Victoria area, but they're just way too good of a shop to let that only be concentrated down there. I want to get them some
So
exposure across the
do
state.
you need bricks and mortar locations?
Yeah, so I think again, what's important about independence is that personal touch that everyone knows your name kind of set up, right? And so, if David comes in, I know how his son did, last night, the Friday night football game, right? And that's the kind of touch that we want to have versus, Walgreens or CVS, where it's really kind of churn and burn. You go in there, you get a quick consult, you're out the door, they're on to the next one because the margins are very, very thin on a retail prescription versus a compound. So there's a volume game. And so what I want to do is kind of have a network of these smaller compounding, in the community pharmacies that are backed by kind of a national backbone, right? Where we can kind of leverage economies of scale, attract more talent, to really take that independent feel and make it national. So the best of both worlds, right?
So I'm still going to see, still be able to buy chapstick and Hallmark greeting cards and Whitman samplers and the kind of things you usually find in drugstores.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll have a small sampling of that, but again, we really want to be laser focused on our mission of providing, precision medicine, in collaboration with these doctors, for sure on the compounding side.
So the other question becomes insurance. That's all critical. Do you are you are all these covered by insurance? Do you have agreements with, I don't know, Optums and
Sure.
all the other providers?
Yeah, I think that's a whole other segment. But in short, no, unfortunately, through in any industry, there's going to be good actors and bad actors, right? And there's been some history. A lot of people call the pain cream days, where insurance was reimbursing just astronomical rates for these compounded creams, and some bad actors took advantage of that. TRICARE got involved. It was fairly messy, and they pretty much, turned the spigot off, right, on any insurance reimbursement. So today it's largely cash based, and so, but a lot of these therapies, people are willing to, skip a cup of coffee, kind of thing, for a month to get their script filled because they feel it, right, and they want that health and wellness, and are willing to invest in it. We're seeing a lot of that very, consistent even through COVID and economic downturns, people are still willing to pay cash.
So what about the pharmacists that do this compounding? I mean, it sounds like it's probably more of a challenge than a lot of the pharmacists see. Does it take special training? Are they more expensive?
Yeah, so good question. So largely, what you'll see is it's a combination of pharmacy technicians and pharmacists. And so all of it has to be overseen by a pharmacist, regardless. And typically, you have pharmacy technicians, sterile compounders, and non-sterile compounders that are doing the compounding. But then you have pharmacist checks that verify weight measurements. Did we use the right materials according to the recipe, if you will? So pharmacists are definitely integrated, and yes, it does take extra training. We do have some partners that provide that sterile training that we'll send them to, and then there's ongoing competency and assessments that we have to monitor as well to make sure they're staying up to speed with the most current best practice.
So,
So
is the idea that once you get enough of these under your umbrella, that you can drive some costs down and not be as much of a premium product as perhaps compounding pharmacies are now?
yes, absolutely. We want to pass this right back on because, as you know, you have the relationship between time, quality, and cost, right? And so typically, as it takes more time to do something, that cost is going to go up. And so we want to figure out a model in which we can still have a high level of quality and, even more importantly, precision. When I say, customized medication, that takes time, at scale. And I have not seen anything in the market today that's doing that, in a meaningful way. You do have these kind of chains of pharmacies that are out there, largely, independent retail chains. There's at least one or two compounding chains, but they typically, reserve the original pharmacy's name. My vision is to have Qualthera kind of be synonymous with compounded pharmacy, no matter what state you're in.
So is that going to be your brand going forward, Qualthera?
Yes, that's the plan, is to have one name across the board, which I haven't seen from a compounding network today.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see, and especially if you're moving back home. I know you're a Dallasite, so you're looking for an acquisition. You'll be having an acquisition here pretty soon, you think?
Yes, we're going to have one in Dallas very soon, no later than next year. Like I said, hope to sign a lease on that space this week. And then again, while we're waiting on that, we're really just driving Central Drugs, our first acquisitions expansion across the state to include Puerto Rico. Right now, they only have one state license. And so, that's another interesting point, that if you do have compounding pharmacies that serve across the country, largely they have one big facility with, 50 plus state licenses, right? That's a lot of regulatory risk, a lot of operational risk. And so what I'm going to do is have a few regional large compounded pharmacies that do kind of your maintenance medications that aren't acute, that people don't need right away. And because we'll be on the same system and under the same ownership, we can share that load across the network. So that's another way to bring those costs down.
Well, it sounds like you put in a lot of work on this. You've got it down. It'd be fun to watch you grow. Donald Prentice is the CEO founder of Qualthera. It's good to have you with us.
It's been a pleasure to be here, David, and forward to chatting with you in the future.
Thanks a lot. I look forward to it too. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.